Revelation 22 and verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For thou art dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May we pray together. Father, as we look into your word tonight, I ask that you'll guide me and direct me as I speak. Help me to be a blessing and a help to your people. Help us focus on the joys of heaven and being obedient servants unto you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Are all the kids gone, Jerry? We let them go? Okay. I don't know if we didn't announce, so I want to make sure we didn't have some sitting by waiting. Brian and Jamie are doing the kids tonight. Jerry and Stephanie did junior church this morning with the Shavers being gone, so we appreciate everybody's help and everybody working together. Well, we've taken a fresh look at the seven times in the book of Revelation that the expression, blessed are they or blessed is he, is used. They're called the seven Beatitudes of Revelation. The word blessed means to be happy or content of heart, to have the joy of the Lord. We saw in chapter 1, verse 3, the first of those was contingent upon, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear, and those who keep the things that are written therein. So hearing and reading and keeping the things written in this prophecy of Revelation, blessed is he, happy is he, rejoicing in the Lord, content in his heart. The second one is found in chapter 14, verse 13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And we saw that the time of tribulation that these people are living in and the great persecution they're suffering, if they are believers, death will be a deliverance for them in the sufferings that they will go through. The third is chapter 16, verse 15. He that watcheth and keepeth his garments. So the emphasis there is keeping his eyes looking for the Lord's return. For those saints of the tribulation period, they're looking for Christ to return to the earth and deliver them from the tribulation and from the judgments that are coming upon the earth. And that keepeth his garments refers to righteousness, that they walk with the Lord, that they keep themselves righteous, that they keep their garment unstained from the sins of the world. The Bible pictures that all of us are to seek to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. I don't know about you, but I cannot wear light colors because when I eat, I splash. My wife was trying very hard to wipe either barbecue sauce or ketchup off my collar today after lunch. I don't know how it got there, but I had a spot right here on my collar. Normally, it seems to form a fall right here for some reason. I don't know why. And my necktie or my shirt, and got stains all over my clothes. And you know, my life's not perfect either. I get stained because of sin, wrong attitudes and wrong motives and anger and all the things that we deal with in the flesh. And we need to keep ourselves unspotted by cleansing ourselves regularly in the blood of the Lamb. And the blood of Jesus Christ will wash all stains away. You don't have to worry about the cleaner being able to wash away that stain because the blood of Christ is powerful enough to do that. Number four is found in Revelation 19:9. We looked at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed is he that is given the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, to sit down with Christ in the great marriage feast. Chapter 20, verse number 6 is the fifth one. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. All of us who are saved today have a part of that. We have that promise. The second death has no power over us. Christ has delivered us from death. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And therefore we are delivered from that. Revelation 22, 7, the sixth of the Beatitudes we looked at last week. Those that keep the sayings of this prophecy and that urgency that is there, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And now in Revelation 22, 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So the blessing upon us, the happiness, the contentment of heart, and it is the only way for us to be happy and content is to be one who obeys the Lord. If you follow the ways of this world, happiness will evade you. You might have momentary happiness, but you'll have no joy that lasts. And there's nothing permanent about sin. It's for a season, and then the reaping comes as a result of that. The contrast of believers and unbelievers as those who are obedient and those who are disobedient. The right to enter into the joys of the Lord or into the judgment of being cast out forever are found in this passage. We find numerous lists in the Bible of those who have no part in the kingdom of God, the disobedient unto God, those who don't follow His Word. If you want to look at a couple of them, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Now all of you here tonight, everyone who is saved, there was a time when you were part of the unsaved world and God saved you by His grace. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Those guilty of all types of sexual sins. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Those moral sins that men commit. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. No matter how deep our sin was in the past, Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord can cleanse us of our sin, and all of us who are saved, they have been cleansed of our sins. These various sins that are listed here are grievous. Idolatry and adulterers and effeminate, those sexual sins and those moral sins of thieves and covetous and drunkards and revilers and extortioners. There's a drastic difference between the saved and the unsaved, between those who come out of that sin and those who are still practicing those sins. We've been sanctified to be set apart holy. We've been justified, declared righteous in the sight of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. So happy and content are we who've been saved. Happy and content are we who have come to know Christ and been cleansed of all of our sins. Galatians 5 and verse 16 through 21 is another passage that deals with these things in the contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now these works of the flesh, these sexual sins, again, adultery and fornication and uncleanness, and the Bible gives us a number of words that we don't always use in everyday language. Lasciviousness. It is excess, the absence of restraint, or to be lawless. You meet people who, if you could give them a pill, and they could take that pill and they wouldn't want to sin anymore, they might be willing to take the pill. But they won't resist temptation. They can promise you today and promise you tomorrow and promise you the next day, but they go right on back and do the same thing over and over and over again. They're lawless. They're without restraint. They will continue to do that. Lasciviousness. Variance. It means to divide in partialness. Invariance and dividing homes and families and people's lives. Emulations. Jealousy. That anger and jealousy that comes from emulation. Seditions, to cause insurrection. To these violent crimes that men commit, they come from the sins of the flesh, from people doing what man wants to do, from being tempted by Satan and following the works of the flesh. God has always made a distinct difference between the clean and the unclean, between the saved and the lost. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 through 18, I don't know why I'm picking up my breath on this mic so much, it's on my lapel. 2 Corinthians 6, 14, y'all at least know I'm breathing, okay? Verse 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So the difference between the clean and the unclean, the difference between believers and unbelievers, the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous is clear to God as the difference between light and darkness. We can't always know somebody's heart. We can't always know somebody's character. But God always knows. He's never fooled. And God knows the distinct difference between those who obey Him and those who disobey Him. Back in Revelation chapter 21, in verse 6 through 8 of Revelation 21, "And he said unto me, It is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, with the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So we see that division is clearly marked in the Word of God between the obedient and the disobedient, the righteous and the unrighteous, between the believer and the unbeliever, and the Lord shall make that separation day. Happy are those who are obedient. Happy are those who are believers. Happy are those who are made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to enjoy all eternity with the Lord, as Brother Lou said this morning, and what a blessed thing that's going to be, that we make it in, that we're safe, that we're secure, that we're delivered from this present evil world. Secondly, we notice in this context, in Revelation chapter 22, where the Lord says this, that Christ speaks and invites men to come with the last invitation of the Bible. Look at verse 12 and 13 in Revelation chapter 22. He announces, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. in verse 16 and 17. He said, He has set His angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that hears say, Come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Verse 20, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. So there's an invitation given with an admonition that the Lord will come quickly. Now we know that a person is not saved by obeying commands, but a person obeys commands because they're saved. Titus 3, 5, and 6 reminds us that we've been saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. It's according to His mercy that He has saved us. And He has given us eternal life. Now in the tribulation period, men and women who survive unto the end of the tribulation, who live physically until the Lord returns, are going to find this deliverance and this blessing about entering into the kingdom. Now first of all, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 makes it clear that many who have been given the gospel today and who have rejected it so they can continue in the pleasures of sin may never have another opportunity to be saved. They will be sent a delusion from the Lord and they'll follow the lie of the Antichrist. They'll receive the mark of the beast, and the Bible makes it clear that all who do that are damned for all eternity. Secondly, there's the problem of surviving the tribulation in that a third of the earth at one time is going to be destroyed. A fourth of men are going to be destroyed. Hundreds and thousands of people are going to die in the tribulation period. And those who do receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, many of them who reject the Antichrist will suffer martyrdom for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 7, if you want to look there with me. Revelation 7, verse 4. Now I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. 12,000 from each one of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, 144,000 of the Jews will be saved in that day. Then look at verse number 9 and 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Verse 14, I said unto him, Sir, he asked the question, Who are these in these robes and with these palms in their hand? Verse 14, I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now that's the way of salvation. That's the way of salvation in the tribulation. That's the way of salvation today. It's through the blood of the Lamb, through the cleansing power of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that we receive eternal life. It's not because we are obedient enough. It's not because we keep enough commands. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing added to it and nothing taken away from it. We don't have the power to obey the commands of God without being saved. I don't know about you, but I struggled and tried many times to change my life before I got saved, to correct myself, to do better, to swear off, to make New Year's resolutions. Whole world makes New Year's resolutions. They don't keep them 30 minutes to 30 days until they violate them and probably done worse than they'd ever done before they made those resolutions. Because without the power of God, we have no ability to keep all of the commandments that the Lord has given unto us. Now these who are saved, who've washed their robes, they're free from the horrible conditions of the tribulation period. But salvation is by faith in Christ and Him alone. Read the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, and verse 36, and John 5, 24, and verses that many of you memorize, that our faith is in Christ, and through that we have salvation and eternal life. The flesh has no inheritance with God, has no power to to keep His commands. Isaiah 53 said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." In verse 12 he said, "He poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." We are saved to the uttermost through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's the whole basis of salvation. This invitation is given to come and take the water of life freely, to come and be saved. God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." The church is the bride of Christ. Are we telling people to come to the Lord and be saved and be delivered from their sin? These boys and girls learning this little song up here about loudly proclaim the gospel story. Be brave as a lion and brave as a bear. I'm going to have to teach them how to be harmless as a dove in the meantime. And one day, Brother Jerry, I thought some of these kids standing up here might be going to Ecuador or some other foreign country one of these days on a mission trip, and we hope they have boldness to proclaim the gospel, to be brave as a lion and to be brave as a bear. Come those that hear. They say, "Come, he that is athirst, come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." So blessed are they who obey, and blessed are those who heed this invitation. Thirdly, the blessed ones obey knowing Christ is coming soon. Christ could come at any time. He said, "Behold, I come quickly," in chapter 22, verse 7. We have responsibility to heed His commands because He's coming again. Great incentive for us to live right and do right and keep short accounts with the Lord, knowing Jesus could come at any time. I remember how we used to hide out at Paris Island and watch for the drill instructor. We'd be inside in the barracks after lunch or something, you know, after eating, and we'd get somebody to sit out there on the steps and watch. We didn't want the drill instructor to catch us if we wasn't doing something exactly like we were supposed to be doing, you know. Standing at attention in front of our bunk or shining our shoes or reading our red book, you know, memorizing all the articles of faith. And we had this fella, I think he was Korean, everybody called him Fuji, you know. And one day the drill instructor come walking in there, had that old big hat on, you know, like Smokey the Bear, had that thing cocked way down in his face, you know. He came out, that jaw stuck out. He said, "Standing at attention, are you? You look sharp, don't you? You ain't fooling me. I saw Fuji back there at the steps run in here and tell all of you I was coming." You know, we're not going to fool the Lord either. The Lord's coming, and those who are looking for His coming, the Lord knows all about. "Behold, I come quickly." Jesus taught His disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He questioned Peter when he went back fishing after Christ had risen from the dead. He came to Peter and he said, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" And he questioned Peter and said, "Peter, if you love me, then obey me. Do what I've told you to do." 1 John 2, verse 3 and 4, we know that we know Christ because we keep His commandments. Knowing this book is an incentive for us to live godly and holy and righteously in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those who do will have right to the tree of life in the city of God. Now, the tree of life was in Eden, in the garden, in the original creation. We don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden, but they weren't there long enough to eat of the tree of life. They ate the tree that God told them not to eat of. And isn't that human nature? We do what we're told not to do instead of giving the invitation to do the right thing. And after they sinned, God set a cherubim with a flaming sword going to and fro to block the way to the tree of life, lest man would eat of the tree of life in his sin and live forever as a sinful man. Can you imagine growing older and you can't die? Could you imagine being 100 or 200 years old and your body's racked with disease and pain and you can't die? There'll come a time in the tribulation where men will beg to die and they won't be able to die, and they'll suffer in pain and gnaw their tongues, the Bible says, for the pain. It's not a blessing to outlive your mind. It's not a blessing to outlive your physical abilities. It's miserable to be in horrible pain. Death can be a release from these things to go home to be with the Lord for a believer, and the promise of a new body that will live forever and forever with the Lord. Deliverance from this body of flesh with all of its weaknesses that we go through. So in that sense, death can be a blessing. The tree of life, I can't explain the tree of life. I don't know what part the tree of life has in our eternal state. But it's enough for me to know that God has promised us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the invitation is given that we can come. We can come and take of the water of life freely. And the righteous will have right to the tree of life. But there's a limit in time, my friends. Behold, I come quickly, verse 7. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. Verse 20, surely I come quickly. May we say with John, even so come, Lord Jesus. May we be looking for His coming. When Christ comes for His church in the rapture, the Bible says He'll come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be transformed and go to be with the Lord. And the next thing on God's agenda is His coming. The time comes for His second advent. It will happen quickly. Little time to prepare, just like when the rapture takes place. There's no time for the unbelieving to prepare when it takes place. God's present agenda today is the next thing on His calendar is the rapture of the church to go home to heaven to be with Him forevermore. The tribulation begins upon this earth. Then His second advent at the end of the tribulation and the judgment of nations and the setting up of His kingdom. And then at the end of the kingdom, the great white throne judgment where all the lost are cast in the lake of fire for all eternity. And a new heaven and a new earth for you and for me. And Peter said, knowing this, knowing these things, knowing all this world's going to be dissolved one day, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holiness and godliness? And let's be looking for His coming. Let's stand together, please. Happy, content, blessed are they who do these things. And we'll look back and be blessed forevermore. Father, thank You for the faithfulness of Your people. Blessing this invitation, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.